They tell me that today is Father's Day. I didn't realize that until yesterday when my granddaughter called me and reminded me that this would be Father's Day. I don't have a Father's Day message. But what has been impressing me, and I might say troubling me, you will recall that 2 weeks ago, the entire week was given to commemorating a past president. You remember that? Yeah. And I thought, as they presented his merits and his demerits, I've got a leader. Let's consider his merits and demerits. And that's what we want to do today. The hazard, the risk of leadership. We've done this before, but just to reassure ourselves and reestablish in our minds the fact that we are under leadership, let's look at a few scriptures. Joshua chapter 5, please. We have a leader. What is he like? Where is he leading? And are we following? Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said, Are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord. My. Captain of the host of the Lord. What a leader. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from thy foot. Hebrews chapter 12. Captain of the host of the Lord. What a title. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. It became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain. I know some of your Bibles say leader. Same thing. We have a captain. Chapter 12, please. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Many of your Bibles say the author. A good translation is the captain. The Lord Jesus Christ is our captain. How important is a captain? How important is it to follow the captain? Are we following the right captain? Let me read for you a tract, you probably read it, called Misdirected. A terrible blizzard was raging over the eastern part of the states, making more and more difficult the progress of a train that was slowly forcing its way along. Among the passengers was a woman with a child. She was much concerned lest she should not get off at the right station. A gentleman, seeing her anxiety, said, Do not worry, I know this way well, and I will tell you when you come to your station. In due course, the train stopped at the station before the one at which the woman wanted to get off. This gentleman said, "The next station will be yours." They went on, and in a few minutes, the train stopped again. The woman took up her child, thanking the gentleman for his kindly interest, and left the train. At the next stop, to his surprise and alarm, the brakeman called out the name of the station where the woman had wished to get off. "You have already stopped at this station," called the gentleman to the official. "No, sir," he replied. "Something was wrong with the engine, and we stopped for a few minutes to repair it." "Alas," said the passenger, "I have put that woman off in the storm when the train stopped between stations. Afterwards, they found her and her little girl in the snow, frozen to death." Wrong direction. Wrong leadership. I think it was Tuesday of last week. And this is about the third time that I've heard this. You've heard of that great ship, the Titanic? Unsinkable. And the number of people got on the Titanic to take a trip north in the Atlantic. The captain was Captain Smith. Captain Smith was warned, "There is an iceberg. There are icebergs ahead." Captain says, "This ship can't sink. Keep the course." 5 times he was warned. 5 times he said, "Keep the course," and suddenly they ran into an iceberg. And I am told that the hole in that ship was the size of this door. Water began to pour in. Wrong leadership. The captain says, "Keep going." Who's your captain? Is he leading you right? Choice of leadership. In Denver, Colorado, there is a place called the Royal Gorge. I've been there. Now, that gorge goes down across the river and up. Now they have a bridge across the gorge, and it is called the bridge that goes nowhere. Because when you cross the bridge and get over on the other side, there's nothing there to see. The bridge that goes nowhere. But my friend Lloyd and I went a half mile down to the bottom of the gorge and looked up. How would we ever get out of there if that elevator that brought us down had failed? The story is told of a certain young fellow. He came to a gorge, a deep gorge. And it was a question of getting across. He had 2 offers. The first guide said to him, "If you follow me, you will slip a little bit. You will fall sometimes. You will injure yourself sometimes. You will have pain sometimes, but I'll get you across to the other side." The second man said, "If you follow me, I guarantee that you'll go down and across and you never hurt yourself." Which one would you choose? Which one would you choose? The story is told, and one has to be careful about where he's going and who's taking him. About a deer north of the Niagara River. An eagle saw a deer in the river. deer couldn't make it. The eagle was glad and pounced down with his claws upon that deer. Sunk the deer, killed it. And then that eagle began to eat this deer, having a nice time eating the deer, all the time going down the river. After a while, the eagle heard a rushing noise. He looked and he saw that the river did not continue, but that there was a drop to Niagara Falls, 285 feet. And the eagle began to scream and pull. But his claws were frozen into the deer. And he went over. You may seem and feel happy. Be sure you're going the right way. Matthew chapter 15, please. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. The Lord is speaking. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. You know that's what's happening in the United States? Those fellows in all these big church buildings, they are blind and they're leading the blind. And where are they going to end up? If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. I forget who it was that said these words. Don't go by numbers. Because 100 blind men can't see any more than one blind man. So don't tell me this is a big church and a lot of people go there. That's not the answer. The answer is to be right. Have you ever seen the blind leading the blind? It's a terrible sight. I saw it one night, one morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. Charlie Fox and I were driving to a hospital to take care of an emergency. And out in the middle of a busy thoroughfare, in the distance, we saw 3 blind people holding each other, going across the middle of a busy thoroughfare. I said to Charlie Fox, stop the car, let me go out and help those people. Charlie Fox sounded the horn. And I will never forget what I saw. 3 blind people separated from each other, beating their white canes, going in various directions. A pitiable sight. The blind leading the blind. Happily, I was able to get out of the car and get to them and say, stop, stay where you are, don't move. Brought them all to safety. Charlie Fox came up with the car. I'll take you wherever you want to go. Just come in the car. And what do you think they said? No, thank you. We are all right. Can you imagine that? In the midst of it, is everybody here all right? Whom are you following? Who is leading you? Now let's look at our leader. See a few of his characteristics. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Verse 8. And the Lord, he it is that goes before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 5. He will not leave thee. We will not fail thee or forsake thee. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's my leader. Is he yours? Fine. What a leader. You know another thing about my leader, about the Lord Jesus Christ? And this I like so much. Job chapter 37. Job chapter 37. Verses 23 and 24. Job 37, verse 23. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. You can't fathom the Lord Jesus Christ. He is excellent in power and in judgment, plenteous in justice. He will not afflict. You can't figure out the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 42. This is my leader. Chapter 42. Verse 2. I know that thou canst do everything, and no thought is withheld from thee. What a leader. What a leader. He is unsearchable. Unsearchable. And then you know another thing about my leader? He's got complete knowledge. Did you know that? Isaiah 55. I have a number of scriptures here, and we can't go through all of them. When you go home, check what I'm saying. Isaiah 55. Complete knowledge. Verse 8. Our leader. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. How are you going to argue with him? How are you going to argue with him? And yet people argue. Why did God allow 9/11? You can't think. If he told you, you wouldn't understand anyhow. What a leader we have. Complete knowledge. Romans 11, please. What a leader. You know, whenever election comes around, I always say to people, none of those fellas that they put about my man. My man is in heaven. Where's your man? And my man, read with me here in Romans 11. Oh, the depths, 33, of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Unsearchable are his judgments. Verse 34. For the smart alecks. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who taught the Lord? And they're going to argue with him. Evolution. The biggest bit of folly that you can imagine. And you know, they disprove their own theories. They say that some inanimate thing became alive, and yet long ago it was proved that living things can only come from living things. My, oh. You know, this thrills me. I don't know how it makes you feel. And he's the one I'm following. He's the one I'm following. Oh, another one. Numbers chapter 23. Another characteristic of my leader. My Lord and my God. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He never has to change his mind. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Verse 2. Oh, beloved, I hope these verses thrill you the way they thrill me. They make me feel real good. Not Mr. Reagan, and I have nothing against him, but my Lord. Read verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. Doesn't say God who does not lie. He can't lie. You know anybody else like that? I remember in our course in economics at school, there are only two things I remember really from economics. Professor Edwards said to us, if your parents have anything on the stock market, tell them to take it off. And the next week was the Wall Street crash. And then the other thing that I remember, figures don't lie, right? But liars can figure. That's the trouble. That's the trouble with those CEOs that are in trouble. The figures don't lie, but my God never lies. Doesn't that threaten you? To be followed, everything he says, and he never said a word that he had to take back what he said. He never apologized for what he said. He never altered what he said. He never said, I'm sorry. This is wonderful. And this is my God. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful. You can depend upon him. He never lies, and he's faithful. If he says something, he's going to do it. You know anybody like that? In world leadership? I don't. But my man, my God, is faithful. You can rely on him. Whatever he says, he will do. A verse that I like all these verses. That's why I'm reading them to you. 1 Samuel chapter 22. And verse 23. These are the words of David but they apply more so to our Lord. Verse 23, 1 Samuel 22. Abide with me, fear not. He that seeks thy life seeketh mine. But with me thou wilt be in safeguard. Isn't that nice? Always safe with the Lord Jesus Christ. You get the same thought in Proverbs, in the Psalms, in a few places. And we used to sing, I don't know if it's in our hymn book, children in the Sunday school, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest. You're not safe in your own home. You heard of the little girl sitting looking at TV and a bullet came through and went through her head and killed her. No safety down there. But with my Lord, there is safety. Some people have trouble, even believers, sleeping at night. It has been said, you should work so hard in the day that you have no time to worry. And you should be so tired at night that you can't worry. That's one of the answers to worry. But read with me Psalm chapter 3. You talk about safety? Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter 3. Verse 5. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. That's the way to go to bed. You don't worry about anything. Oh, things may happen. But you just lie down and sleep, for the Lord sustained you. Chapter 4, verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for the Lord only makes me dwell in safety. Did you know that verse was in the Bible? Don't worry when you go to bed at night. Say your prayers and go on to sleep. The Lord keeps us in safety. And then, you know, and for the sake of time, I think we'll make this the last, or maybe the next to the last. Genesis chapter 18. The leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis 18 and verse 14. A question is asked. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is it? Is anything too hard for my Lord, my leader? Is there anything that he cannot do? Now, of course, we just really can't lie. But nothing is too hard for my Lord that is in keeping with who he is. Jeremiah chapter 33. Is anything too hard for my Lord? Jeremiah chapter 33. I'm sorry, chapter 32. Verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord. Is anything too hard for me? Read verse 17. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. That's my Lord. He's my man. And he's my leader. And he's yours. Nothing too hard for him. He's a savior that can solve every problem. The tangles of life he can undo. There is nothing too hard for Jesus. Nothing that he cannot do. Doesn't that make you feel good? That's my Lord. And with all the problems around, all the hatred of the Lord and the hatred of his people, there's nothing too hard for my Lord. He'll protect, he'll guide, and he'll help. One more. 12:20. Daniel chapter 9:33. Daniel 9:33. Verse 14, please excuse me. That's age. That will happen to you too. You're a young man. Daniel chapter 9, verse 14. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. The Lord our God is righteous. Notice the first five letters in the word righteous. R-I-G-H-T. He's always right. You know everybody else is always right? Why, the best of them make mistakes. There are several scriptures, look them up when you go home, telling about the righteousness. He's always right. From time to time, we read of prisoners who were imprisoned wrongly. Those that sent them to prison were not right. You will recall that a few months ago, a little girl was sent from the Far East to this great country to have a heart transplant. And they did a beautiful operation. They transplanted her heart, but she began to die. And when they checked, they found that they had placed the wrong heart in this child. The medical profession. Those fellows that say they know so much, but they were wrong. I remember early in training, there was an elderly lady there with a fractured hip. They took her to the operating room to pin, as we say, this hip. Put her to sleep and pinned the hip. And when she awoke, she said, "Why are the bandages on my left hip? The fracture is on the right hip." Doctors, they make mistakes. But my Lord is always right. You can trust him, therefore. Anything he tells you to do is right. Let me read for you a favorite poem. My Father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. Do you like that? I do. My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away. But still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. There's so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to Him. For by and by, the mist will lift, and plain it all He'll make. Through all the way, though dark to be, He made not one mistake. I didn't like that. I like it. Not one mistake. Now, I'm not going to call any names. But you think of the rulers of this nation and all the nations. Can you say that of them, they made not one mistake? Why, they even admit. Some of them are honest enough to admit they make mistakes. Made not one mistake. Now, there is a thought abroad. And I don't remember, one of the founding fathers of this nation said, if the majority of people agree on a thing, that's right. You're going to vote in November, and they go by the majority. But do you know, beloved, that throughout history, the majority has always been wrong? Did you know that? The time of the flood, how many people were saved? All the rest were wrong. The judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, how many were saved? All the rest were wrong. The case of Gideon, the enemy was like the sand of the sea, millions. Gideon had 30,000, the Lord said to him, that's too many. Reduce them to 300 against a million. Who won? The crowd was wrong. Let me read you some interesting things about the majority. Adam Thompson of Cincinnati, Ohio, near the middle of the 18th century, was the first American to fill a bathtub. Those who heard of it became alarmed. Doctors, the AMA, predicted that rheumatism and inflammation of the lungs would result from having a bathtub in your house. Would you buy a house without a bathtub? The majority was wrong. Those learned men. Westinghouse was called the fool. Westinghouse said, I'm going to take the wind and make it stop a railroad train, a locomotive. They laughed at him. You ever hear of air brakes? That's Westinghouse's contribution. Oh, Fulton's Folly. This one is near to me because I knew exactly. I wasn't alive then, but I know where it happened. At the foot of New York, at Battery Park, Fulton said, I'm going to make this steamer go by steam power. The crowd said he was wrong. And they lined up from Jersey and New York, from Battery Park, right up to Albany. And when the time came, there was a sound. And out of the smokestack came this black smoke, and they said, I knew it. It's on fire. A little more smoke came out. There you go. The third time the smoke came out, the boat began to move. And it went up the Hudson River to Albany and turned and came back. They call that Fulton's Folly. The majority of people laughed at him. The scientists said it couldn't be done. It was done. And the ladies have a good share in this too. Ever heard of Madame Curie? Madame Curie was digging and digging and digging. Madame Curie said, there's something down there, and I'm going to find it. And the only person that agreed with her was her husband. And Madame Curie was digging and digging and digging. And the scientific world laughed at her. And what do you think she found? Radium. Do we use radium today? The majority laughed. Oh, don't make the mistake of going with the majority. The crowd is often wrong. The Lord himself said that there be few in contrast to the many that go down to a lost eternity. I'm going to stop. Hymn number 423. Close to thee. Oh, with such a leader, beloved, let's stay close to him. He knows everything. He cannot fail. He has almighty power. Where else would you go? There's nobody else that has all of these wonderful characteristics. Close to thee, 423. I guess I'm elected to play again.